Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. What a passage of scripture we're going to dig into today. And I was thinking about as Robert was and the team was leading us in that worship, sometimes volume and pack being packed in creates energy, and sometimes when you're all spread out, and I think that sometimes because we've been doing so much social distancing, which by the way we've got to do and it's important, but in some ways it can affect us in the way we relate because we're basically designed to have relationship with one another and encourage one another. So I want you to know that I'm expecting you to listen intently. I'm expecting you to smile some, cry some, whatever we're into, I want you reacting and I want you there. Now, I don't want you to get up and say anything now, okay? But I want to know you're out there, amen? Y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
All right, wonderful. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds, we live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. We have people getting married all the time around here, all right? Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching today are believers in Jesus, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. All right. I want to begin today by reading the passage, okay? I want to begin by reading the passage. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 15 through 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verses 15 through 29. I'm going to read it from my copy of God's Word. You look down on your copy of God's Word. I love the fact that you bring your Bibles. Folks, we're studying the Bible in our church. Amen? That's what we do. We study the Bible. Okay, here's verse 15. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Verse 19. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. Verse 23. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find out? I applied my heart to know, to search, and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness, and I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Verse 27, here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason. which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among these I have not found. Now, that is an interesting verse of scripture right there. Pray for me as we dig into that one, okay? Verse 29, truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Man's search for the missing puzzle piece is the overarching theme of the book of Ecclesiastes. What is that saying? That's saying that mankind lives their lives trying to figure out what's going to make them happy. Pascal, the French philosopher, mathematician, said that every man is created with a God-shaped vacuum. It's like a missing puzzle piece in their heart. And what do? We spend all of our life trying to find what's going to make us happy. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a title. Maybe it's power. Maybe it's education. Whatever it is. And we try to find what's going to make us happy. And the problem is, many times we get what we thought would make us happy, and it doesn't do that. And so Solomon was that way. Solomon tried everything. And we've looked at these chapters at the beginning of Ecclesiastes. He tried pleasure. He tried work. He tried wealth. Then he had a reality check about things, and he realized how important life was and serving the Lord was. And then last week we talked about what is better, different things that are better, like ending well is better than a fast start. We talked about that last week. But today we're talking about the search when in deep thought. The search when in deep thought. Now I want you to know this, that the word philosophy, I want you to think about, he's getting philosophical. The word philosophy means the love of wisdom. It's an activity of attempting to understand the world and all its aspects. Attempting to understand the world and all of its aspects is part of the task of philosophy. I went to the University of Florida Department of Philosophy, and on their website it says this: philosophy addresses the most fundamental problems that arise when reflecting on the nature of the world and our place in it. So UF says that one of the things, when you get philosophical, you're trying to figure out, what is my place in the world? I want to make sense about what is in reality here. Well, can I tell you this? Solomon does this right here. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 24, he says this. He says, as for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things. That word reason means the scheming of things. In other words, why is it that way? In verse 15, he starts out by saying, I have seen. This shows reflection. This guy Solomon is reflecting on philosophy. He's reflecting on the big ideas. He's in deep thought. As a matter of fact, in verse 19, 23, and 25, he uses the word wisdom. He's talking about wisdom. He's going to talk about wisdom. He's going to talk about folly. Folly is going your own way. It's listening to the world. It's grasping for what he called the wind. It's chasing the wind. It's thinking that money would make you happy. And you all of a sudden reach out for it and you realize there's nothing there. It's like cotton candy. You bite into it and it looks pretty. It's big. It's bright. You bite into it. It's gone. Man, I love cotton candy. When I was a kid, we'd go to the fair. Mama, can I have cotton candy? Everybody else, they might want something. I wanted cotton candy. Why? Because it's big. Why else? Because it's colorful. And so you bite into it. It just goes immediately to zero, to sugar. Tastes pretty good there for a second, but. So he is looking for what's important. He talks about wisdom. And then in verse 25 and 27, he says, I want the reason of things. Look at that in verse 25. I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things. He says it again in verse 27. He says in the end of verse 27, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason. Solomon is giving us a hint. You want to study philosophy? You want to know what life's all about? You want to know where you fit into it? He is going to give us. Now, this is a deep truth. These are some deep truths. I tell you, this has engaged me all week as I have studied this text. Now, here's the other thing. The phrase to find out, look at this in verse 24. He says in verse 24, as for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? In verse 26, he says, and I find more. He uses that same word in verse 27. Here is what I have found. He uses it two times in verse 27. In verse 28, he uses it three times. I have found something out. I have been in deep thought about life. I have put on the hat of philosophy to try to find out where do I fit in this world. And he gives us three main points in this passage of Scripture. Here's the first one. Number one, live righteously and trust God with the outcome. Because here's the problem. You're going to be dismayed if you don't do that. Here's what he says in verse 10. In verse 15, I have seen everything in my days of vanity, my days of emptiness, my days of searching. He says there's a just man who perishes in his righteousness. And then he says, and there's a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Has that ever been a problem for you? That's a problem to most of us. Because if we're not careful, we take on the thought. Listen to me. We take on the thought that if we give our lives to Jesus Christ and we trust him, we will not have any problems. And yet Solomon says, look, I've lived long enough and I've been chasing all this. It's been empty. But let me tell you some things I've learned as I've been in deep thought. I've realized, you know what, there's a just man out here who perishes. And there's also a wicked man who prolongs life. He's telling us here, don't be confused about the connection of righteous living and blessing. And he says, I want you to avoid, I want you to avoid two extremes. Now, I tell you something. This has really, really spoken to my heart and helped me to understand some things that I've battled with. He wants us to avoid two extremes. Here's the first extreme. If I live right, I will not suffer. And here's what happens. In verse 16, look at that verse. It says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. The word be there, I've circled into my Bible and I wrote out in the margin, claim to be. Do not claim to be overly righteous, nor claim to be overly wise. In other words, don't take on the idea that nothing's going to happen to me in any bad way because I have given my life to Jesus Christ. Now let me qualify that by saying this. We're not living for this world. We're living for the long haul. So in the long haul, truly, we will spend eternity with the Lord. But can I tell you this? Just because we love Jesus in this world doesn't mean we won't have problems in this world. Now, let's be honest, folks. Let's have a gut check. Let's us put on our thinking caps as believers in Christ. You know that's crossed your mind. You know you've seen people that are righteous, that are godly, and bad things happen. I'll never forget a young man when I was a young youth pastor. He called me. He said, Calvin, would you come and do a funeral for me? I said, who has died? He said, my little baby. I said, John, what happened? He said, our little baby died in the crib. And then he said to me, you impacted me and led me to the Lord when I was a teenage boy. And he said, I want you to do the funeral for my little baby. And I hung up the phone and I went and saw my pastor. I said, Dr. Vines, what do you do? I didn't know what to say. This guy was serving the Lord. And yet something very terrible happened in his life. Let me tell you, when you live that way and you think that if I live right, I will not suffer, then look what it says there in verse 16. It says, It says, do not be overly righteous nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? I don't know what it says in your translation, but the word destroy there means to be dismayed. Let me tell you, when you live thinking that if you live righteous, you'll never have a problem, then life will be full of dismay all of your life. Because there will be things you don't understand. And so philosophically, in deep thought, Solomon is telling us, here's my takeaway. I want you to live righteously and then trust God with the outcome. Avoid two extremes. If I live right, I will not suffer. Here's the other extreme. You ready for the other extreme? I see some people that appear to be blessed in sin, so I'm just going to go for it. I see some people that are blessed, and they don't darken the door of a church. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're phonies. They're not living in a righteous way by the wisdom of God, and yet they live on and on and on and seem blessed and blessed and blessed. And so because I've seen that, I'm just going to go for it for sin too. Because obviously it doesn't matter. He says you better avoid that. Now you got to be thinking about this to get this. Avoid these two extremes. The first one is, if I live right, I will not suffer. The second is, I see some people that appear to be blessed in sin, so I'm just going to go for it. In verse 17, he says that. He says, don't be overly wicked. You've seen others that have lived very prosperous and seemingly successful lives. And he says, they've made it. Then he says, don't be overly wicked because you've seen that, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? In other words, if you live foolishly and you don't live by wisdom, you may die before your time because of your dumb decisions. So he's telling us, and then here's the thing. Here's the third thing about that. He says, take the right approach. Fear God and you will be blessed. Look at the scripture there in verse 18. It says, it is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other. In other words, here's the balance. You ready for this paradox? The paradox are these two extremes, believing that if I live righteously. Now, by the way, when we live by wisdom, we're blessed. We're going to talk about, we are blessed. But there are exceptions, and it rains on the just and the unjust. So he says, keep this in balance. You got one hand on this side, and you got one hand on the side that says, there is no way I'm going to live in sin thinking that just because I live in sin, it doesn't matter. No way. He wants you to hold on to both. And then in verse 18, he says, and also not remove your hand from the other. And then he says this, the end of verse 18, for he who fears God will escape them all. You know how to live life? Fear God. Be in awe of God. The New Testament action for fearing God in the Old Testament is to put your life under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior and say, Lord, I'm all yours, lock, stock, and barrel. You're on the throne of my heart. You're on the throne of my life. And it says when you live that way, when you fear God, you'll escape them all. Why? Because God's in control. So here's what he's saying to us. Live righteously and trust God with the outcome. Let God have the outcome. You know, in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We trust God with our lives. You know, when I've told you the story of Johnny Erickson, the young girl that was a swimmer, and she went in the Chesapeake Bay, and she dove in water she thought was deep. And she dove off of a dock, and it was actually probably more shallow even than this would be right here. And she dove head first, and she broke her neck. And she, this happened when I was a young person, and so the reason it's so tender to me is because when I was a teenager trying to decide, I was contemplating the gospel and turning my life over to Jesus. I was such a mixed up kid. My dad had just died of cancer. I was wondering what life was going to be like for me. I was not very popular. I wasn't all that great athletically. And I just wonder what in the world is going to happen to me. And about that time is when this happened. And Dr. Billy Graham made a film about it called Johnny. We have it in our library. You should get it. You should watch it. It's old. You'll laugh at the clothing, okay? It's funny what they're wearing and everything, but the message is powerful. But Johnny, when she first snapped her neck and became a quadriplegic, she was a believer. She was a quadriplegic. And people came up to her and said, hey, I want you to go to this healing meeting. We believe you can be healed. And so she had people telling her, if you really love the Lord, you'll be healed. See, that's one of the poles. If you really love Jesus, you'll be healed. And then on the other hand, she was so angry and bitter at what had happened in her life, she just wanted to throw in the towel on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what she ended up doing? She ended up taking the right approach. She ended up fearing God and saying, God, you superintend life. You know what's going on. I trust you with my life. And so she ended up saying, God, I'm gonna let you use me in the chair. I'm going to let you use me in the chair. And she took the right approach. So here's the deep thought. Philosophy. Live righteously and trust God with the outcome. Now that's a mouthful. It's easier to say than it is to live. Here's the second thing. Not only are we to live righteously and trust God with the outcome, but number two, we are to live by God's ways and be humble about it. He says wisdom does provide blessing in life. In verse 19, he says wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of a city. The wise person fears the Lord and therefore does not fear anything else. If you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anything else. So you trust the Lord. He walks with the Lord and has the adequacy necessary to face the challenges of life, including war. We see that God is saying that we can trust Him. We can live by God's ways. We can have wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Wisdom is living life by God's point of view, saying, God, what is your opinion about this circumstance that I'm in? And then saying, Lord, I've committed to do the what you want me to do about it. His ways are higher than our ways. Think about it. Think about what the Lord has said about these things and what the world says. Think about friendships. He's got wisdom about it. Think about relationships. Think about business. Think about a work ethic. Think about finances. Think about discipline. Think about character. Think about anger. And think about bitterness. Think about communication. All these things God gives wisdom about in His Word. And so we are to live by God's ways. We are to do the things that the Lord wants us to do. He says that right there. He says, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. So wisdom does provide blessing in life, but no one is truly righteous, verse 20 says. Not one. In verse 20, it says, the word for is in mind, the very first word of my verse in verse 20. The word means indeed. In other words, he's saying wisdom strengthens the wise. Verse 20, indeed, there is not a just man on the earth who does good and does not sin. So by your own righteousness, you will not be able to make it in this world. Indeed, there's not a just man on this earth. There's not one who does good. And we know from the New Testament that Romans chapter 3 teaches that exact same thing. Verse 21, also do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear from your servant cursing you. Verse 22, many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. So here's the thought. He's saying, live by God's ways, because wisdom does provide the blessings in life, and no one is truly righteous. So we need the wisdom of God to know how to live. He gives us two examples to know that no one is truly righteous. He makes that point in verse 20, no one is truly righteous. And then he gives us two examples of that. The first one is the servant. He says, you've heard your servant cursing you. And then he says, before you get on your high horse and you're mad at your servant, look inside. You've cursed others yourself. So before we get on our high horse and get mad at our employee or our servant or someone in our family, let's have a reality check. There's nobody that's good. There's nobody that's just. That's why we need the gospel. Hello, church. That's why we need Jesus, because we don't measure up. And so he gives those two examples. And then I love this. He says, no one is truly righteous in verse 20 through 22. And then look at verse 23. All this I have proved by wisdom. He says, now look, I've tried to seek out wisdom. I proved it by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find out? In other words, I'm trying to live by God's wisdom, but he said, you know what? It's far from me. Every stroke of wisdom that I have, every little morsel of God's word he's given me that helps me make right decisions, that helps me love my wife like I'm supposed to, that helps me raise my kids like I'm supposed to, that helps me be a businessman like I'm supposed to with honesty and integrity. Every morsel of that is a gift from God. And he said, even though I have it, it seems far from me. That's where I get the idea. Live by God's ways, but be humble about it. Because all of his ways are a gift from God. Be humble about it. I used to know a guy that when I was a young Christian, I watched this seasoned Christian. There's many of them that you have in your life, and there's many of them that I've had. Many of them are in this church that I watched as a college student. But there was one guy in particular that he just seemed to have the blessing of God on his life. And I would go to see him and I'd say, What do you think about this? I'd say, why do you do it this way? And his answer was, hey, pray for me. We pray. I'm praying. My wife and I were praying we're doing it right. Now he could have looked me in the eye and said, let me tell you, you do it my way. You better do it my way because I know I've studied this and I'm right. And had an arrogant way about it. But can I tell you this? His humility made it attractive. He said, I'd say, why do you do it? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing it that way? He'd say, Calvin, pray for my wife and I. Pray that we're doing it right. We think we are. We're asking God for wisdom. So Solomon is basically saying to us, as a follower of God, as a follower of Jesus, he would say, live by God's ways, but be humble about it. Be humble about it. So not only are we to live righteously and trust God with the outcome, not only are we to live by God's ways and be humble about it, but here's the last thing, and this is as I say sometimes, this is the kicker. Sin is worse than you think. Sin is worse than you think. He says in verse 25, he says, I applied my heart. There it is. There's that phrase. He's looking philosophically at things. It's a reflective word. He's reflecting on this. He's letting it ruminate in his mind. He says, I'm applying my heart to know, to search out and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly. That's sin, even the foolishness, even of foolishness and madness. He's basically saying to us, he's going to tell us sin is worse than you think. Now, we know that the wickedness of folly, we don't have time to go there, but you can write down Proverbs chapter 9. It talks about lady wisdom and lady folly. We're going to talk about a lady in here in that verse that I don't want to have to get to, okay? but that there's a lady that represents folly, and the Bible says there's a lady in Proverbs 9 that represents wisdom. It's really the choice to give your life to Christ, that's lady wisdom, or to reject Jesus Christ that and go your own way, that's lady folly. That's Proverbs chapter 9. But here's what he's saying, sin is worse than you think, and here's the first thing under that, folly is worse than death. Sin and folly is worse than death. In verse 26, he says, and I find more bitter than death. Folly, I find it more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets. And then later on, it says, whose hands are fetters. That's chains. He's saying it would be better than to live a life of sin. It would be better just to die. Because let me tell you, Lady Folly is going to take you and she's going to ensnare you. She's going to entrap you, even to chains. She's going to chain you down. It's like the picture of a spider web. That you know, a spider spins its web and that little fly or that bug comes along and he gets caught in that thing and his little leg is caught in that little spider web and he starts fighting and the more he fights, the more it gets in there. And then he turns around and gets his back on it and he's going, oh no. And the more he turns, the more he's encapsulated. And the next thing you know, the life is sucked out of that little animal, that little bug, by that spider. You want some philosophy? Sin is worse than you think. We better run from sin. We better get on our knees before God and say, oh Lord, help us have wisdom to make right choices, to live under your leadership in the superintendency of your blessing. Because folly is worse than death. It's got chains involved. It's got snares involved. And then the second thing under sin is worse than you think is only the man that pleases God can escape from her. Verse 26, it says that he who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Then the third thing is this, to live this way is very rare. Now this is the lesson of that difficult verse 28, okay? It's not saying that in 1,000 men you can find a righteous one, and in the women you can't. Now I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. I'm in hot water. But in all seriousness, let me explain that verse of Scripture. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. The scholars say that there's a progression in the way the Hebrew language is written that is basically doing that here in our passage, but it's similar to what is in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15. Look at this. Proverbs 30, verse 15 says, the leech has two daughters, give and give. Then it says this, there are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. You see the progression? There are three things, and then there are four. It's almost like the second one is the climax to make the point. The same thing is said in verse 18. Look at verse 18 of Proverbs 30. Verse 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, which I do not understand. The point is, there's some things here that are hard to understand. All right, look at the same thing in verse 21 of Proverbs 30. For three things the Lord is perturbed. Yes, for four, it cannot bear up. Now go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and it says this, which my soul seeks, but I cannot find. One man among 1,000 I have found, but a woman among these I have not found. Basically what he's saying, I've not found one among them all. He's using a progression of speech there to make the point. Amongst men and women, I have not found them all. And so basically what he's saying is, to live this way, listen, you ready for this? And I pray that our students get this. I pray that I get this. I pray you get this. To live under the wisdom of God and avoid the traps of sin like this is very rare. It's very rare. And can I tell you this? It only begins when we give our lives to Jesus, because the bottom line is, in your own strength, you'll never make it. In your own strength, you'll be like that bug that gets in that web. You'll be like that person trapped by Lady Folly that has fetters and snares and chains. And so, folly is worse than death. Only the man that pleases God can escape from her. To live this way is very, very rare. And then the last thing, he basically says in verse 29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many, many schemes. He's saying it's not God's fault, it's man's fault. So I want to tell you something today. You're playing with sin. In deep thought, the wisest man who ever lived is saying to us, sin is worse than you think. You better be careful when you dabble in sin. In Judges chapter 16, don't turn there necessarily, but you can write it down. We have a great example of that. Samson. Samson went down and he saw Delilah, the woman. He said, Mom and Dad, I want you to get her for me. They said, she's not of our people. She does not know your God. Samson looked his mom and dad in the eye. He said, you get her for me. He was determined. Samson was mighty. The Bible says the Spirit of God came upon that young man, and he could slay the enemy. He had all kinds of power. And so he finally married Delilah, and she said, Samson, what is the secret of your strength? He said, if you take new ropes, which is entrails, like intestines, and tie my arms up in it, then I'll be like any other man. And so they tied him up one night, and he got up. They said, the Philistines are upon him. He broke the bands. She said, you're toying with me, Samson. She said, what's the secret? He said, he caved in. He got close to the answer. And he got closer to the answer. He said, if you take my long hair and weave it in a loom, then I'll be like any other man. And he was just dabbling, see. He didn't think sin was that big of a deal. And so they said, the Philistines, they put his hair in a loom. The Philistines are upon him. He got up, he slayed the enemy. And then she got really intense. She said, I can't believe you would treat me this way. And so he finally told her the answer. He said, you take a razor and you shave my head, then I'll be like any other man. See, he was a Nazarite unto God. And so that night they shaved his head, and they said, the Philistines are upon you. And one of the saddest verses of Scripture, listen to me, oh wow, one of the saddest verses of Scripture I've ever read is in Judges, where it says, and they said, the Philistines are upon you. And Samson said, I'll get up just like I always did in all the other times. And he got up and he had no power. And you know what they did to him? They bound him. You know what they did to him? They blinded him. You know what they did to him? They put him in the temple of Dagon to grind at the millstone. Sin binds, sin blinds, and sin grinds. Dr. R.G. Lee used to say it this way: sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer today.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.